Thank God for our dad. Your dad. Just coming from youth camp, it's fresh in my mind this morning that not everybody is blessed with a good father. Some of them don't know their dads. Some of them, they may wish they didn't know their dads. And seen some kids in the last few days that have a lot of grief and heartbreak, sadness. Some of them feel like in the midst of their brokenness that they're worthless. But thank God we do have a Heavenly Father that cares, that loves. Brother Loper mentioned in one of his messages a whole list of the travesties of sin. And he said God loves each one of them. Just because somebody does something sinful, does something wrong, doesn't mean that God writes them out of God so loved the world. He still includes them. Praise God. Praise God. One young lady was testifying a couple of times, and she was sharing from her heart, and it seemed as though she was really sharing from a broken heart. And she's sitting right down on the second seat, and there was something about her testimony and her opening her heart up in that testimony that clicked in my heart and was drawing some tears. And I didn't know who she was, just a young black girl that was sitting there. Somebody came up to me later after I made comment about her and her testimony and told me who she was. And she was one of our little children in VBS in Antigua back in 2010. And so here she was at Pilgrim Youth Camp this year and seeking the Lord, testifying to His grace in her life. I praise God. It's incredible to have those kinds of connections. Many others as well, testifying to God's grace. And I believe that there were some that were called into ministry as well at youth camp. And that's one of my goals, one of my points of anticipation. I want to see them all saved when they go home. But I also feel that if youth camp is really successful, then there's some young people that are being called and answering the call. And I believe that that was taking place also. We are living in a day when there's a lot of war going on, waging war against the home. Well, it's been that way for a long time, really. Probably we could just simply say it's been that way since the beginning of the home. Satan has always hated the home. You and I, dads, this morning as we focus on fathers, it's our responsibility to wage war in the home against the entanglements of sin, against the entanglements of Satan. And he'll do everything that he can to destroy our homes, our families, our children. Sometimes he'll even use good people to wage war against our homes. I know that we don't like to think like that, but they may not realize what's going on. But quite often, those are the most dangerous to our children. And our actions and our reactions and our responses is what affects the responses and the reactions of the children. You and I, dads, we have a tremendous role to play in waging war against sin and the devices of Satan. Waging war in the home against the war that is being fought against that home. There's three things, let me quickly mention to you this morning, of ways that you and I, dads, we can fight against the entanglements of the world. The first thing that I want to mention to you this morning, the way we can wage war in the home against those entanglements, is with our words. I use this passage of Scripture every time there's a baby dedication, a child dedication here. But let me repeat it again on this Father's Day, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse number 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. We need to talk. We need to use words. Dads, we have the responsibility to wage war in the home against the entanglement of sin with our words. We need to be talking to them. We need to be involved with their lives. We need to tell them about God. We need to tell them about the Bible. We need to tell them what God has done for us so that they too can understand, as we share our testimony to others, that we include our children, our families, in that category of others. That we make sure that we tell them of what God has done for us. That we tell them and include them of what God is doing for us now. We need to be sharing. A study was done some time ago to determine the amount of interaction that dads had with their children. The first thing in the study was that fathers were asked to estimate for themselves, to estimate how much time they spent each day talking or communicating with their child. Think about it. If you were to be a part of that survey, what would you respond? How would you respond to that question? How much time per day do you spend communicating with your child? I suppose we'd have to do a little bit of thinking about it to really come to a good answer. The average answer that came in that study was about 15 to 20 minutes per day. That's what the dads were saying was the average, 15 to 20 minutes per day. The next step of the study was to put microphones attached to the fathers so that each interaction with the child was recorded. Now that sounds like a daunting task, so I'm hoping that this is true. That sounds like it's pretty rough to have a microphone attached to the fathers, but the result of that study was that the average amount of time spent by these fathers with their small children was 37 seconds per day. I wonder if 37 seconds a day is going to be enough to meet the job or to meet the needs of the job. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 is basically speaking to the son. It says, listen, my son, or listen, children, to the instruction of your father, and don't forsake your mother's teaching. I know that that's speaking to the son, but what it's saying also is that fathers, we have a responsibility, that there's a biblical given that we are talking to our children. That we are sharing with our children. It's not the school's responsibility. It's not even the church's responsibility, though we play a part. School plays a part. But it's really the responsibility of the parents of the home. Dads, we have the responsibility of teaching, making sure that we are training our children in the way that they should go. Not only are we to share with them our words, but then the next step would go hand in hand with what has already been said, and that is with our time. 37 seconds a day of communication was the average amount of communication. Time goes with that as well, spending time with them. How are we doing with our time? If we look at that seventh verse of Deuteronomy chapter 6, he tells us in the King James to teach them diligently unto thy children. Another translation says that we are to impress them on our children. Impress them on our children. Have you ever been impressed by something? Tonight there will be some impressions here from the afternoon nap. We don't get our hair all combed back into nice place after the afternoon nap. There's an impression from the pillow that has smashed the hair over or something along that line. Or there's a wrinkle of the sheet that has been impressed or the pillowcase impressed on the face. Impressions. What about the impressions that are necessary being placed upon the heart of the child from dad, from you and I? Teach them diligently to the children. The passage there continues to go on to say something about talking about those things when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up, and write them and share them and carry them with you. Tie them as symbols and bind them as symbols on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It's really another point that can be brought in here is really this thing called priorities. We live by our priorities. We live by what is important in our life. And other people can see what is important in our life based upon what we do with our life. We can look at our day timer, we can look at our Palm Pilot or our schedule, we can look at where our time is devoted, and that is what is important to us. That is what is important to us. So many dads would have to admit that their job is what's important to us. Now, a job's important too, because the scripture tells us that we are responsible for our families, and there's a not so pleasant word for those that can't support their families, or won't support their families. Sometimes it's not jobs, but it's the hobby or entertainment or their personal comfort. But if you ask that individual if they love their children, they would promise you, they would raise their right hand and say with a confidence that yes, they love their kids, but their time doesn't match up. I'm thinking of an individual that is at camp this week, raised in what you and I would think of as a good home. But there is a huge disconnect when it comes to this very thing from the father. He does what he wants to do. He spends money on what he wants to spend money. He takes time off work for things when he wants to take time off work. But then the family is left to flounder for themselves and to make do for themselves. And very rarely does he do anything extra for them. And it's a heartbreak to sit back and watch. I know we have that responsibility to raise them and to care for them and to meet their needs, but we have to be very careful that our love of our hobbies and our love of our entertainment and our comfort doesn't interfere with their lives and their health. We can wage war in the home against the entanglements of sin and Satan with our words and with our time. Ultimately, it comes down to our lives, giving of our lives. Genesis chapter 18, God is revealing to us that Abraham was chosen to be that patriarch of a great and powerful nations, and through him all of the nations on the earth would be blessed. And verse number 19 says something to the effect that God chose him so that he would direct his children and his household after him to keep them in the way of the Lord. Dads, the way that we live our lives will be a direct reflection of how our children will grow up. I hate to use somebody as an example that's not here this morning, but Rachel Craig said that the reason why she's still single is because of her dad. The sole reason is her dad, she said. Because he's so perfect. Now, you and I know that that's a daughter's looking through her eyes at her father, how wonderful that is, but it's a good thought. Because most of the time, girls want somebody like their dad if they've had a good relationship. I don't know what Janae's problem is. It's probably me on the other side. Dads, we have a tremendous responsibility. We have a tremendous responsibility that we set a standard for our children, that we establish something for our children to press for and to look towards. I don't have any regrets this morning that we started early. Janae and I started early taking dates, going on dates. I don't know when it was, how old she was when we first went on our very first Valentine's date. I don't know, 2 years old. I don't know if it was before that or not. She was real young. That's all we know. There's something special about it. Now, I did miss one or two as she was out at Penview, but tried to make up for it in other ways. But there's something about that communication, and not only with the girls, but with the boys. No one will ever convince me otherwise that the difference in the relationship that I have with Jonathan and Caleb. We have different relationships, and the difference that we have is very simply based on the communication that I had with those children before they were born. I believe that. Nobody will ever convince me otherwise. Janae and Jonathan, both of them, I talk to them daily, from the moment that I found out that they were in there. Talk to them daily. Probably even prayed for them daily, right there. I sang to them. You think that would have hurt them, but maybe it didn't. I spent time with them, but I had a hard time with it. It's something that I'm ashamed of. I regret it, but if my regrets and my shame can help somebody else, I'm willing to share it. I didn't do that with Caleb. And it showed. He did not take to me when he was born. The other two quickly took to me because they were familiar with me. Because they were familiar with my voice. Children know more and they feel more than what we give them credit for. And if we tell them that they're a hardship to us, even when they're babies, even when they're in the womb, I believe that that can carry over to that relationship. Jonathan and Janae and I had a bonding prior to ever laying eyes on them. Caleb and I didn't. I thank God that we have worked through that. But it has taken some difficult road. Taken a difficult road. A little boy was caught swearing like a sailor one time. His mother jumped and said, "Young man, where did you learn to talk that way?" The boy looked up at his father and said, "Well, Dad, should I tell her?" Because he learned it from Dad. Dads. 2 Kings chapter 14 tells us of a king of Israel whose name was Amaziah. And it says in that passage that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. In everything, he followed the example of his father Josiah, or Joash, Joash. He followed, and you can see that as you read through the history of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. Often those that were right in the eyes of the Lord, that did things that were right in the eyes of the Lord, did things because or was reference to the father or the grandfather before them. And the ones that did evil in the sight of the Lord did so as it was reference to the father or the grandfather before them. You see, Scripture bears out the connection that children have with their parents or with their grandparents, that somebody led them down the wrong road or somebody led them to the higher road. What kind of an example are we setting for our kids? Now, one thing we must also mention, we can say things with our words and destroy those words with our life. But our life, our time, and our words going hand in hand will declare war against the entanglements of sin in our homes. They're learning from us one way or the other. They're learning from us, good or bad. Make it a good education. I said at the outset that our actions and responses will become their reactions and responses. The way we respond to things and the way we react to things, I can see it. Jonathan and Amberly were team leaders for Pilgrim Youth Camp for the first time this year. They had to join in because all of Amberly's siblings and mom and dad were there as well. I don't know, to me, I think it surely had to have been an exciting time for at least Warren and Kimberly to have them all involved. It was great. But I saw an awful lot of me my first year when watching Jonathan. My first year to ever be a team leader. I saw his reactions to things. I could see it. Even though people look at Jonathan and they say more that he is following after Uncle Jeremy, I can see myself over and over again in him. The responses to things. His reactions to things. It's incredible. Dads, let's wage war in the home against the entanglements of sin. I've said it before, I'll say it again, quoting Dr. Alan Brown a long time ago, said that Satan will have our children unless we do something to stop him. That doesn't simply mean we go through the routines of life. No, it means that we do something intentionally. We need to insert that word intentionally into many things in our lives. We do it intentionally. Otherwise, it won't get done. Intentional waging war against sin and Satan in the home. Raise up a generation of godly people, servants of the King, Kings. Let's stand together this morning. Have a happy Father's Day, men. Blessings to you. Enjoy the time of celebration. Children, make sure you love on Dad today. Tell them how wonderful of a dad you have. Give them words of blessing today. Every day, but especially today. Praise God. Praise God.